What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities. And no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
A lot of passion about where the Falcons could be this season in terms of a very difficult schedule and a very unfortuitous bye week way too damn early in the season. We'll talk about all that and more on the WadeFord.com hotline. Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle with you till 10. Joe Patrick. What's going on, man? This thing with this schedule, when I looked at it for the final time and we did our predictions yesterday on the show, I said, woof, this thing ain't easy, and they really did not do the Falcons any favors with this early bye.
Yeah, you're totally right. And the bye is one thing. I think that's the thing that gets everybody's attention right off the bat. It certainly was mine, especially considering what I think we thought was I always thought was kind of a hard and fast rule, which was that teams who play an international game get to, you know, select if they would like the bye week immediately afterwards. And I always figured that, you know, there had been these rumors, and we found out the day before the actual schedule release that the team would be playing in Germany in November. And I thought that would have been the perfect time. You know, that's going to work out perfectly for the Falcons because they'll get a week 11 bye right after that. That is kind of, I would say, the ideal week to have a bye, honestly. And, of course, it's not that. It's week 5. It's early in the season. And what that leaves them is just a really, really tough stretch in the middle. And so, obviously, when you have a bye that early, that's going to affect you later on in the season. You hope this team doesn't kind of leak oil because of it. But also, Chris, you know, one of the difficult things about this schedule is just that there are a lot of other, I would say, favors that the NFL will do for teams quite frequently that the Falcons – just did not get in terms of, for example, them having to go to the West Coast twice this year instead of just once. Usually if a team is playing two West Coast games, they will kind of put them on the same trip. So the team is only kind of going out there and they can stay out there and can come back. That's a lot of travel to have to go back and forth there. And it's something that this team is going to have to contend with. I would say this team, you know, may be better equipped to deal with a schedule that's as grueling as it is because it does feel like a younger team this season. I'm not sure if that, like, is statistically based across the entire roster, but a lot of the key players are young guys who should have a lot of energy. But still, this is the NFL. You get beat up week to week, and it's definitely going to be a tough test. But having said that, Chris, you know, the other thing I feel when I look at this is that there are no excuses, you know, like this team, they can't look at this and say, you know, oh, like we were screwed. Like they have to look at this schedule with a really kind of attacking mindset and say, you know, to borrow the phrase of a guy named Jocko Willink, who's like an Army guy, and he's like a kind of a motivational speaker slash podcast or whatever, but he talks about when you face adversity, his kind of motto is good, you know, good. Like, it's going to make, this adversity I face is going to make me better. And that's, I think, how the Falcons have to take this. You know, it's a tough schedule, but, you know, damn it, we're going to go out there and you know, prove to the rest of the country and the league that we are capable of standing up to a very tough test.
Do you believe that there's an unspoken internal mandate in terms of what success looks like this season?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, I think that, you know, success is a playoff. Well, it's a playoff appearance slash winning the division. You know, those things kind of get intertwined because you obviously guarantee yourself a playoff appearance by winning the division. But I think this team is still, you know, they just ultimately want to be in that national conversation, playing in those primetime games, which they did get on their regular schedule, but you know, that's where they want to be in the postseason when things matter. And so ultimately, I think that that's how these guys are going to be judged. And these guys being the head coach, the GM, the players. And so, again, that's why they can't kind of look at the schedule and kind of feel sorry for themselves, because Atlanta Falcons fans expect this team to be making the playoffs before the schedule came out. And I don't think that that changes just because it gets a little – it feels more difficult now that you see – the opponents and how they line up. So that is going to be, I think, kind of the line. And I think that if they don't achieve that success, Chris, that's where things get interesting in terms of like, who, you know, who's going to be held accountable if they don't do that. But we'll wait until if we get there, we'll talk about that at that time.
Well, I think the one thing that you can say pretty bluntly though, Joe, is, you know, if that happens, I don't think that there's any organization in the NFL that would keep a general manager after five seasons of no double-digit wins, no division wins, and no playoffs. I think that's a pretty safe thing to say.
Yeah. No, I agree. I just didn't want to put Terry's head on the chopping block before.
No, but whether it's...
You know, we have a legitimate reason to maybe do that.
No, but yeah,
no doubt about it. I think that, yeah, jobs are on the line this season for sure.
Yeah, it's not about Terry. That's about any... I mean, I think that's just a blanket statement that you can make across the National Football League. Nobody gets that. I don't care what type of track record you have in the league. Even if you had won a Super Bowl, if the next five seasons you don't win double-digit games, you don't make the playoffs, I think that's a recipe for getting a suitcase and a pink slip. But hopefully, like you said, it doesn't come to that. How shocked were you with the five primetime games and then the international game on top of it?
I mean, I was surprised, but I think it makes sense because when you look at this team, like I was surprised, but I was happy because I think that the NFL sees what we see here in Atlanta, and specifically what we've seen here in Atlanta from Michael Penix through three starts. When you look at these primetime games, like there's a reason the teams without quarterbacks really get short shrifted here. And the Falcons, I think, are one of those teams that is extremely attractive to the national broadcasters because they have these exciting players. And not only do you have the quarterback in this instance, who I think clearly these broadcasters really believe in and the NFL thinks are going to be exciting, but then you've got, you know, the Bijan Robinsons, the Drake Londons, you know, all these guys around what we think is going to be a quarterback that really emerges this year. And, you know, that's why I'm happy for the team that they got that. Now, it'll be very interesting to see how they do because, you know, they've got a lot of tough tests, you know, whether it's the Vikings early in the season, that's going to be a tough trip, or having to go out to San Francisco or hosting the Bills. I mean, the reason, you know, primetime games, as you know, as well as the notoriety you get from them for being on national TV, they're typically difficult football games, and it'll be interesting to see how this team holds up. But I would remind people that last year when they were on primetime, they beat the eventual Super Bowl champions. They maybe should have beat, were very close to beating the Chiefs at home on a Monday night. So this team, while they have, you know, ultimately failed on their season objectives the last couple of years, I think they still have shown in certain games that they can stand up to the league's best, and we're going to see if they can do that again this year.
Talking all things Falcons with our buddy Joe Patrick here, Falcons Insider for Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Make sure you check him out on socials for all the latest Falcons news. All right, so when it comes to what we're looking at here in terms of expectations, Joe, I just don't know if there's anything that you can say to sort of justify everything that we've been talking about in terms of mandates and in terms of excuse making and everything like that. But when it comes to Michael Penix Jr., I think I can still make the argument that as long as he plays average, Joe, this team will be more than just fine.
Right, right. I agree. And like, listen, you know this, we talk so much about the Falcons. I'm as high on the guy as anybody around. I do think he's going to make his share of mistakes. I don't think he's necessarily going to be, you know, a top quarterback in the league statistically, because I think he's going to go through the growing pains that young quarterbacks typically go through. But I think that he can, like, when you talk about him kind of like, you know, being average or whatever, like, I think he's going to throw his share of bad-looking interceptions or greedy interceptions. But I think the benefit that you get with Michael Penix is that he is going to give you the big-time plays, too. He's going to produce the big-time throws. He had, I believe, 11 of them in three games last year. For context there, Josh Allen led the NFL in big-time throws, which is a metric that Pro Football Focus keeps, with 40. So Michael Penix had 11 in three games. He slings it around, and that he's going to get burned from. He's going to, you know, fly too close to the sun at times. But ultimately, I think he's going to come up with enough big plays, again, for a talented group around him. You know, I think that this offense is primed. Like you said, even if he's just okay, this offense is going to be still one of the better ones in the league. And I know that a lot of Falcons fans, like, they feel like so many Falcons fans are just stung, you know, by the disappointments and failures of, again, the overall team success and not making the playoffs from the last couple of years, that they might not think maybe as highly about some players maybe as they should. But it's important to remember that Drake London was fourth in the NFL last year in receiving, and Darnell Mooney would have had 1,000 yards had he played in the last game. So this team has plenty of talent. And again, it's why when you look at the schedule, you know, they should make the playoffs. They've got the talent. I still believe that this team is as talented as any in the NFC South. And the Buccaneers are a team that is kind of now vaunted by the national media, it feels, and kind of is assumed to be the clear front runner in the NFC South. But I don't think the talent discrepancy between that roster and the Falcons is that much different, if at all. If not, the Falcons have more talent, in my personal opinion.
One of the teams that they're going to have to face this season in prime time is the Niners, Joe, who just gave Mr. Purdy a big old contract. He's making $53 million a year. Are you surprised it's that high? Were you thinking he was going to be higher? I'm somebody who said I would not have paid him that much money. I didn't see enough last year without the weapons around him that he was able to lead the team. But I get it that it's the going rate. He clocks in at number 7 in the NFL in terms of AAV. What are your thoughts on the Purdy deal?
I mean, it's exactly that, Chris, where it's like I look at it and I think that, like, wow, this deal is way over, you know, what a player of Brock Purdy's caliber should be earning. But having said that, you know, it's the value of the quarterback position in the NFL. And I think it also speaks to Kyle Shanahan's comfort with Brock, with Purdy, in terms of him being able to basically do everything that Kyle Shanahan wants him to do in that offense. But you look at him and it's just, he doesn't have a particularly strong arm. He can move around a little bit, but he's not like a crazy, crazy athlete. You know, we'll see how this works out for them. I'm not someone who kind of like has a projected value in mind that I feel like players need to hit, but certainly that number just kind of jumps off the page to you. But, you know, listen, the Falcons signed Kirk Cousins to 2 years for $100 million guaranteed, and the reason is the same as the 49ers here. It's because you need a solution at that position, and even if the 49ers ultimately at the end of the day feel like they may have overpaid a little bit, they can't go away from what they've got there. It would set the whole franchise back, really. So they kind of were in no other position from having to go this way with 30.
Well, Joe, there's only a 16-point differential between the Union and the United on Saturday, so that should be that should be an easy three, right?
Man, I miss, Chris, I miss the days of, like, Atlanta United having a home game and being able to maybe not necessarily chalk it up as a win, but as a fan going to the game, at least expect to see an exciting team and probably thinking that you're going to see a win and probably not thinking that you're going to be disappointed. But, you know, that's what this team has obviously done so much this season. And the Union are, you know, the 16-point difference between these teams is earned so far this season. And it's going to be very difficult for Atlanta United. They got a point this week on the road against a very bad Austin FC team. playing a very defensive kind of style, that a mindset of let's not concede, let's focus on not conceding first and then scoring. I'll be interested to see if they set up in that same way, because I kind of get the pragmatism of that. You can't win many games when you're just leaking bad goals. But at the same time, that's such a negative way to play in front of the home fans, and especially home fans that have seen this team invest so much in the attacking talent and in players on this roster who are not necessarily set up to play in such a defensive way. I'm not hitting Ronny Dyla for doing that. I think that he has to do what he has to do to try to salvage something out of this team right now. And I'm not necessarily saying he's done a great job this season either as a head coach, but it's just an unfortunate state that this club is in. And unfortunate that, Chris, we have to talk about it every time. And yeah. I got to joke because, you know, it is a team I care a lot about and cover very closely. But it's just a tough situation that this club is in right now.
I just don't know how you can implement that strategy when they lead the Eastern Conference in goal differential at plus 12. Like, how can you play a defensive style when you know that they're going to put goals up?
Right, right. Yeah, no, I think that that's the exact kind of balance that Dyla has to try to find. But I think ultimately what he's trying to do is find some way for his team, his players, to like grasp onto something that they feel like it works. You know, like when you're at work and you're struggling, but then like there, you know, you start using some app or something that helps you, and it kind of like it inspires you. You start to think about different ways you could use it and improve your work. And I feel like that's where Atlanta United is right now. They're just trying to find some foothold on the side of the cliff to stop the fall. And I don't frankly see it happening on Saturday, but you never know. You know, we get surprised all the time, and maybe they do kind of find something that they can continue on with throughout the season. And to your point, Chris, hopefully it's something positive in the attack, because that's really where this team has struggled the most when you consider all the resources that went into investing in that area.
Yeah, they only have a -9 goal differential. You know, it's not it's not anything to write home about. But, you know, all right, Joe, appreciate it as always. We'll talk on Monday, my friend.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Also a busy week for our dogs, and we're going to get to that with our buddy Connor Riley. It is Chris Thomas tonight. Turtle with you till 10 o'clock every weeknight on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Connor, we know the big offensive lineman. I mean, you got to help me make this make sense. I get money is the all-powerful, be-all, end-all. And I get that he came out and said this week that it wasn't all about the money. It was about how Miami was so hot on him and that they showed him all this love and that he loved the way that the program was lined out for them. But there is no way on God's green earth, Connor Riley, that you could sit there and tell me that Miami is a better program to go to than the University of Georgia, especially if you have NFL written all over you like that kid does, Connor.
Right, Jackson Cantwell, the number one prospect in the country according to multiple recruiting services, commits to Miami this week over Georgia. And look, Mario Cristobal has had some success developing offensive linemen. You think Penei Sewell, we're going to have a guy who's probably likely in the first round of next year's NFL draft, Francis Mulaga. But Georgia's had multiple offensive linemen drafted in the last six drafts. He said this week on record that when Georgia offered him, Stacy Searles offered him in July of 2023, that's when his recruitment really blew up. From our own reporting here at Dog Nation and what we know and what has been reported out there elsewhere, Miami offered him in the range of $2.5 million in the first year of that NIL deal. Georgia was not close in that regard, closer to about $1 million. And they were willing to spend more, but it was just so, I think, clear that Miami was going to spend whatever they wanted to try and land a player of Cantwell's caliber. And look, part of this, you know, at that offensive line position, you know, certainly from an NFL perspective, you look at those premium positions, pass rusher, quarterback, offensive tackle, cornerback. Those are sort of the positions that traditionally command high-level dollars. And I do think that this Cantwell recruitment is just another inflection point in the modern day of college football where if a certain program is desperate enough, and I do believe Miami fell into that bucket in this circumstance, they were desperate enough to pay Carson Beck $4 million, which I think just about any Georgia fan will tell you is not a wise investment. That's sort of where things are, and we'll see what the House settlement, how that changes things. I know there's been a lot of questions in regard to how that might stand up legally, specifically with regard to the Deloitte sort of auditing NIL deals and what might be allowed to pass. But as Kirby Smart said this week in an interview with Paul Feinbaum, none of this current model feels sustainable. If you've got a program that is willing to make a freshman from Missouri offensive tackle one of your higher paid players on your team, I tip the cap to him for willing to spend that much, but that does not set you up, in my opinion, for long-term success, both on a team level but also sport-wide.
No negative reflection on Jared Curtis for this, right?
No, I think that this is something that went beyond Curtis. I think Curtis did everything he could to try and land Jackson Cantwell because, again, you know, the short turnaround. And when he made the decision ultimately to come to Georgia, I think that this doesn't, you know, I understand that the idea that this five-star quarterback is supposed to be your leader of the recruiting class. But so much of this happened, in my opinion, before Curtis had really even joined the class, that it's not entirely fair, in my opinion, to put this on a five-star quarterback who, not even 2 weeks ago, was still trying to decide whether or not he was going to go to Georgia or Oregon.
Talking with our buddy Connor Riley. Follow him on Twitter at @KConnorRiley, our good buddy from Dog Nation. Great website. Go check it out for all things dogs. All right, so I've been asking everybody that I've been having on the last couple of weeks, Connor, about this presidential proposal for a council and a committee, and then you have Nick Saban sort of downplaying it in public. What's the latest? What do you know, and what could be coming out of this?
Yeah, so we know today that Nick Saban met with Cody Campbell. He's sort of the other chair of this proposed committee, Texas Tech booster, very well-pocketed, has helped fund Texas Tech's number one ranked transfer portal class this offseason. And I think Nick Saban's comments were sort of telling yesterday where you do have the president, you have government trying to maybe publicly blow this into something where it looks like, hey, we're stepping in and we're going to fix college football. But in hearing Kirby Smart speak this week, he sort of outlined the thing of, we don't need some grand committee to decide what things need to be done. Like, the coaches know and understand better than I think anyone what needs to be done. They can articulate what needs to happen in that regard. I think that just the question is, there's no central leadership in college football right now. The NCAA has clearly abdicated that. And all of these conferences and schools, to an extent as well, are acting in their best interest. And it's ultimately going to take, in my opinion, the schools, the conferences coming together and saying, hey, we're going to sacrifice our own self-interest for the greater good. Do I think that's going to happen? No. There was, I believe, legislation proposed in Tennessee today that would that in effectiveness, circumvent a lot of the House legislation that should it pass, which could be as early as next week. And so, again, if these schools are going to continue to act in their own best self-interest, which is their own right, college football is going to continue to suffer whether or not anything ever comes of this commission with Nick Saban, Donald Trump, and Cody Campbell, the Texas Tech booster, all prominently publicly facing involved.
As we're talking sort of off-season narratives here, Connor, do you think it's 100% certain, or nothing's 100% certain in life? Let's say 95% certain that playoff expansion happens after this season?
I do think that we're going to go to 16 teams. I just think there's more money to be made there. And I don't think everyone was satisfied with how this first playoff played out. And you can look at Georgia, and specifically Georgia and Texas, where Georgia wins the SEC, but then they have to go play a Notre Dame team that was actually ranked third in the final college football playoff rankings. But because of the way they have to do seeding, they were seeded seventh. And then you look at what Texas had to do for losing the SEC championship game. They get a home game against a Clemson team, which was the lowest ranked team in the college football playoff field. And then they get to go play an Arizona State team, which was the second lowest ranked team in the college football playoff field. It was the lowest ranked conference champion. And so I do think that there's going to be change coming. I'm dubious that we're going to get it done in time for this season, at least in terms of redoing the seeding. But I do think with the money that is able to be made and the SEC and the Big Ten, seeing an opportunity to push to get four guaranteed teams in every single year, are going to take that. Because look, a season ago, the SEC only got three teams in, Georgia, Texas, and Tennessee. And I just think if they have that assurance, they're going to be willing to expand under this idea that you've got more teams and more of a pathway into the college football playoff, even if I don't necessarily believe that, A, to be true, and B, in the best interest of the sport. I do think eventually, starting in the 2026 season, we're going to see a 16-team playoff field.
Speaking of rankings, as we're talking with our buddy Connor Riley, check him out at Dog Nation. ESPN put out an article this week, Connor. They're way too early top 10 because that's just what we do. They had Penn State number 1, Clemson 2, Texas 3, Georgia 4. Your thoughts?
Yeah, again, I understand why you have a wait-and-see approach with Georgia, with an offense that, frankly, wasn't very good a season ago, and they have to replace some key pieces with that offense, but they're also bringing back offensive coordinator Mike Bobo there. Penn State, they return a lot of key pieces in that regard. You can point to the transfer portal and them showing, hey, we're going to go out and try and land more wide receiver help there. Clemson, I'm kind of a little befuddled by them ranking that high. Now, yes, they play in the ACC, which is a clear step down from, I think, the Big Ten and the SEC. Clemson last year, they went 0-3 against teams in the SEC. And so, I get, you know, they've got maybe a lot of NFL talent. You might like what they have there. They bring back their quarterback, Cade Klubnik. Dabo does have pedigree in terms of winning national championships. But the team we saw on the field, especially against evenly matched competition last year with Clemson, I just thought was a little bit too high for them. And then as far as Texas, the only reason that Texas is ranked ahead of Georgia is because Arch Manning's last name is Manning and Gunnar Stockton is Gunnar Stockton. And, you know, Arch Manning has thrown 95 passes in his career. Gunnar Stockton has thrown 83. Most of those pass attempts for Manning have come against Mississippi State and Louisiana Monroe, whereas Gunnar Stockton's have come against Texas and Notre Dame. And so, look, you can tout Arch Manning all you want because you believe in the bloodlines that his uncles are Peyton Manning and Eli Manning, two Super Bowl winning quarterbacks. But the Texas hype, in my opinion, is tied solely to the fact that Arch Manning is their quarterback and it just generates greater interest, generates greater page views. And that is why I think there's this idea of placing Texas above Georgia, even though we saw them on the field last year twice with Georgia coming away as the better team.
Is the hype, speaking of Arch Manning, is the hype fair to say that if he doesn't throw for 3,000 yards and 30 touchdowns next season, that his season will be considered a, I'm putting up air quotes now, failure at Texas next year?
I think you can. I actually think you can look at a guy like Nico Iamaleava, the former Tennessee quarterback who obviously made headlines this offseason and transferring to UCLA. But he was a guy who entered last year with a ton of hype because he was a five-star, because he was a public program like Tennessee. And he had an okay season. He certainly wasn't great. You know, the numbers are what they are. I think 17 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. But because he didn't light the world on fire, there had been some bloom coming off the rose with him. And I think when he went in and tried and renegotiated what his NIL deal would have been, I think Tennessee pointed to the production that he had last season and said, hey, like, I know you were promised as this great prospect, but you didn't go out there and play at it. So with Arch, I think that's going to be tenfold, where the expectations for him are so impossibly high that if he's just okay, which, again, first year as a starting quarterback at an SEC level, what I saw against Georgia last year in very limited reps and experience when he came in that first game in Austin did not quite look ready for the moment, much less as one of the better quarterbacks in all of college football. It's going to be a reckoning, especially when you look at that Texas schedule. Like, yeah, they don't play the necessarily toughest SEC schedule, but they've got three really tough road games at Ohio State to open the season, at Florida, which I think is going to be a program that takes another step forward, and then at Georgia. Those are three very losable games, and if they do happen to go 0-3 in those games, Texas might not make the playoffs, and if that's the case with Arch Manning, I can definitely say it will be a disappointing first year with him as Texas's starting quarterback.
So the Falcons win total came out this week, Connor, and it was set at 7.5, which to me is very low. Do you, and let me phrase it to you this way. Do you believe that the combination of Jalen Walker and James Pierce Jr., Xavier Watts, Billy Bowman, those key four as rookies can make enough of an impact on the Falcons defense in year one to make that win total higher?
I think they can. I think the big thing with the Falcons, and it's their first pick, Jalen Walker, that I think is going to determine so much of this. How do they go about using him? What is the plan to use him? Because, you know, even though he's an inside linebacker and a defensive player, he's kind of like that wide receiver where you just got an offensive weapon, where you just got to figure out a way to get him involved and use him in the most optimum way. And so sometimes you hear, oh, if this player goes to a creative offensive mind, that's going to help. I think that's going to have to be the case with Jalen Walker, where yes, he can be an every down inside linebacker for you. But as you saw with Georgia, it's his versatility. It's his ability to play in the secondary at times and come screaming off the edge, or just as a pure outside linebacker. And if he's able to do all of those things and be involved on an every down basis, I think that's what's going to help the Falcons the most. Because look, the Falcons have had a poor pass rush for going on almost 15 years now. And I do think that he and Pierce are going to be able to help in that regard. So much of this is tied ultimately, I think, in Michael Penix's ability to take those next steps and become a consistently good quarterback in his second year in the league. But defensively, you know, if that offense performs as well as it can with the skill talent they have around Penix, we're going to be playing with leads a good bit. And if you have a great pass rush with Jalen Walker, with James Pierce, I think that's going to allow that defense to make enough plays and ultimately get the Falcons back into the playoffs, something they haven't done since the 2017 season.
You know, Connor, it's so funny you say that, because the Falcons came out after he was drafted and said, listen, we're going to shut this down immediately. Our plan for Walker for the first couple of weeks of the season, he's lining up on the edge and he's going to sack the quarterback. That is our plan. We don't want to overwhelm him. To the contrary of what you just said, Connor, I feel like part of the reason he's so valuable and was such a high draft pick is his versatility. Do you feel like he's a type of player that could come into an NFL defense and be able to understand things quickly enough that he could be versatile? Or do you think the Falcons are on something here with just making him focus on one thing at a time?
I certainly understand both aspects of it, because if you look at how impactful he was as a sophomore, it was largely as an edge rusher there, as he was learning, I think, the finer points of being an every down inside linebacker. And so I certainly understand that line of thinking, and I think it's just naturally an easier transition in that regard. But when you take him as your first player in the draft and you take him with the number 15 overall selection, I think you envision him as being someone, as you point out, Chris, who can do everything for this defense. And Raheem Morris is a creative defensive mind. I think he's going to be able to unlock Jalen Walker in that regard. And as far as being able to understand and not being overwhelmed by things, Jalen Walker's dad was a college football coach. This guy went to the University of Georgia to play for Kirby Smart, Glenn Schumann. He is as high a character player as they've had come through there in Kirby Smart's time at the University of Georgia. And if there's anyone that from a mental standpoint is going to be able to handle all that comes with not just leading the defense, but being a face of that side of the football, it is Jalen Walker. And so I understand, you know, having sort of training wheels on him as he makes the transition to the next level, but I think he is someone that can absolutely do it.
All right, Connor, appreciate the time. As always, we'll check you out in Dog Nation. We'll talk soon.
Yep. Thanks.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Coming up in about 20 minutes or less, a lot of scouts didn't like Caleb Williams. They thought he was a pain in the arse. And what came out this week, maybe they were right. We'll talk about it. Right now, though, it's our weekly visit, a few minutes late with our man, two-time Super Bowl winner, and all-around great guy. With a great podcast, All Things Covered, with his buddy Patrick Peterson, it's our man Bryant McFadden. Joins us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Our man Abe is in for Carl on Dukes and Bell this week. Hey, B, stupid question. Maybe not. When the schedule came out, I mean, did you ever look at it as a player and go, yeah, I'm going to eat there, or, oh, I'm going to party at that city, or stuff like that?
Well, you know, playing with the Steelers, we always did things the professional way, right? So it wasn't about partying. I think most importantly for us back in, you know, the era when I was playing, we wanted to know when would we start our divisional slate. You know what I mean? Because, of course, winning games in your division is overly important if you have playoff aspirations. Number two, when is the bye? Is there an early bye? You know, is it a middle of the season type of thing? That was very, very important. And now you have to factor in with the international slate of games being intensified, you know, are you playing out of the country? And if you are, how many times are you playing out of the country? So those are things that usually players look at when the schedule is released, and that's usually been a common theme throughout the league.
Hey, you mentioned a bye there, B-Mac, and it's week five for the Atlanta Falcons, and most of us look at it and say, man, that's a tough draw. Super early. You have an international game that's in Europe that you don't have a week off after. What would be your preferred bye week when playing? And then how much as a player does West Coast travel or international travel really impact you week to week?
I would prefer a November bye because to your point, like with Atlanta, having the bye week after week four, I mean, you're still fresh. You're still trying to get acclimated to the NFL season. I mean, you're still in the month of September, for God's sake. And then, bam, you have a bye week. So preferably speaking, give me, you know, that November-ish timing to have the bye. Now, when we used to travel from east to west when I played with the Steelers, it wasn't that big of a deal, honestly.
Right.
Because, you know, depending on where you're going, it's anywhere between a 4 to 5 hour drive. And for us, you know, we used to partake in card games from the time we leave the ground to the time we land, and it only felt like we was actually in the air for an hour and a half. So those games from on the West Coast for us, it never was that big of an issue. I think it's more of an issue, guys, for teams that are traveling from west to east,
right?
Because of the significant time change and trying to get acclimated to the time zone difference and things like that.
B-Mac is with us, guys. This hour of the show is brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. Bryant, you retired, I think it was 2 years before the Steelers went over to Europe. They've done it a few times since. But I mean, you talk to guys around the league, fans, you know, for some, if it's you hate losing a home game, but do players hate the hassle of having to go over to Europe?
The biggest hassle, from what I've gathered, was some of the conversations that I've had with current players and guys that have retired and played overseas. The travel coming back, especially if you're nursing some type of ailment, you know, an injury, you know, a sprained ankle, a bruised knee, you know, just being in the airplane for such an extended period of time, being uncomfortable, that's very, very difficult. I remember, guys, when I broke my arm, I think it was my fourth year, and we played Cincinnati. Now, granted, Cincinnati to Pittsburgh is not a long commute at all, but I remember how difficult it was for me to be on the plane, be in the air for what, literally maybe an hour,
right,
just dealing with that pain from a broken arm. So just imagine for guys that play overseas, you know how physical the game is, and you have to travel back to the country with some type of injury, a broken arm, a broken ankle. That's difficult. That's difficult. So those are the things that really, you know, bothers players in terms of the injury and how difficult it can be when you got to make that long travel back home.
Bryant McFadden joining us on the WaitForIt.com hotline on Dukes of Bell. It's Abe in for Carl along with Mike Bell. Hey, I obviously overlook things or probably overreact to things like the Falcons being given five primetime games. But for me as a fan, I try and gauge what that means the league feels this team is going to be. And that tells me they think they're going to be competitive. They're going to be fun to watch. Do you ever read that the same way?
Yes, it's two things I would like to add to that as well, Abe. They believe the Falcons will be more competitive, but they also believe the Falcons have a guy at quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at, think about it. When you look at when the Falcons were not primetime games, when they didn't have primetime opportunities, you didn't have a quarterback. Now you have an up-and-coming guy who many believe is potentially could be the next great one at quarterback, and people want to see him lead the Falcons. Look at throughout the entire landscape of the NFL. Teams that have quarterbacks or teams that people believe have a guy, the quarterback position, they're on primetime stages.
Right.
So it's no different. It's no different now with Atlanta, with Michael Durag Penix being QB1. People believe he has an opportunity to be great. And he showed flashes here and there in that small sample size. But now with him being the QB1 to start the season, yes, the expectations are pretty high for him, and that's why they're on the primetime stage more so than what we've seen in years past.
I know that we're 7.5 as far as our win total from Vegas. We're still 60-1 to win the Super Bowl. So we've got some work to do, and the schedule, it's tough, man. It's a tough – we got a lot of playoff-caliber teams, and as you know, B, there's always some teams which are, you know, rising, which maybe you weren't anticipating. How hard do you think it's going to be for this defense to immediately get some traction with these new guys? How quickly do you think Jalen Walker, and of course Pierce is more of a wild card, what's realistic expectation, I guess, is the question for Falcon fans with the defense?
Well, you know what? The issue, the bright spot for both Walker and Pierce into what they're walking into anything positive people are going to rave about, because it's been such a lackluster effort in terms of sacking quarterbacks and putting pressure on quarterbacks, that the bare minimum is going to get fans fired up. Right. You know what I mean? Because you guys haven't had that type of success from an individual in quite some time, right? The last double-digit sack guy for Atlanta was Vic Beasley.
Mm.
Think about how long ago that was. Was that 2016?
Yeah. Yes, it was.
All right. When was the last time Atlanta had a guy on the defensive side to have more than 6.5 sacks? It's been a long time since that happened.
Oh, yeah.
So that's the bare minimum. That's the number right now. So if you're Pierce, if you just fall in about 4 sacks and find a way to get an extra 3, I mean, people are raving about that. The same can be said for Walker. So the bar is very, very low. I'll say that. And fans, you know I'm not lying. In terms of sacking the quarterback and putting consistent pressure on quarterbacks, you haven't seen that consistently in Atlanta. So the bar is very, very low. And if you're a 3-year-old, you can jump over that bar as low as it is.
B-Mac, I'm going to try and force you into hot take here, see if we can go viral. The Colts schedule release video, do you think their portrayal of Tyreek Hill and the Coast Guard crossed the line?
No, because we don't necessarily know it was Tyreek Hill. It was a Dolphin that was wearing Tyreek Hill's jersey.
Thank you.
Right.
Thank
so it wasn't it wasn't technically Tyreek Hill.
Right.
But I do believe the Colts are trying to be a little petty. And and you know what, guys? We live in a world now that if you're being petty, own up to it.
Right.
Don't own up to it. Yeah. Uh-huh. We were being petty. And that's what it – because why you didn't have Tua Tagovailoa's jersey on the Dolphin? Why didn't it have probably not Devon Achane, but maybe Jalen Waddle. They went Tyreek Hill on the Dolphin, and the Coast Guard arrested the Dolphin. Why is the Coast Guard arresting the Dolphin anyway?
It was questioning the Dolphin. Please, get it straight. He was questioning the Dolphin.
Questioning. So he didn't actually arrest the Dolphin, but he just questioned the Dolphin. Why is the Coast Guard questioning the Dolphin anyway? But you know what? That's the world we live in, man. It's a lot of pettiness going on, and that's what makes the game of football so fun to watch, because you got a lot of people that don't like each other. Or they don't like each other for a particular week. You know what I mean? It's not like year-round dislike with New Orleans and Atlanta. But you have a lot of teams that for a particular week, they don't like each other. And it just was the Colts kind of stirring the pot a little bit.
I dug it. You know, like the NBA, we always joke around. Some of these guys, it's like, man, you think they're going to start making out at half court. I mean, the NFL does have dudes. And again, you'll have a prayer circle after the game, and guys dap each other if they know each other. But there still is rivalries. You talked about it. The stuff in that division you played in between Cincinnati and Cleveland, you know, and the Steelers and the Ravens. I mean, that's just pure hate.
Exactly. Pure hate, and it's not going anywhere. And get this, guys. It's not just pure hate amongst the players. It's pure hate amongst the fan base, which makes it even better. You guys despise and hate anything New Orleans Saints related. And when they come to Atlanta, you guys are disrespectful to them. You wish them bad. You don't wish them well about anything. And that's how it is, vice versa. And it's supposed to be that way, in my opinion.
I'm fascinated by what the owners are going to talk about next week here, BMAC and flag football. How prevalent, and I don't know how closely you follow flag football or all this stuff, but like, how prevalent do you think the NFL players are going to be if this passes and they're allowed to play in the 2028 LA Olympics?
Yo, I think they're going to be very, very prevalent in terms of this being new, brand new. Number one, being able to achieve a gold medal. And most NFL players, when you come into the league, that's something that you don't think you ever would have an opportunity to achieve. Now they have an opportunity to achieve a gold medal, compete for your country, and this is a brand new event. Oh my goodness, you probably got to turn some players around and turn them back and say, "No, we don't have enough room for you." And if you're an NFL organization, are you really elated about this opportunity?
Ooh,
because do you want to have some of your star players like Atlanta? Would you want a Bijan Robinson playing flag football in the Olympics? Really?
No. No, I wouldn't. No, I would not. No. I mean, think about Robert Edwards from Georgia running on the beach in a Pro Bowl back in the day? No, I don't want any extracurricular. I don't want Acuna playing Winter League ball. I want these guys in bubble wrap, man. I know you can't do that,
but see, that's the thing. If they make it available and if there's no ramifications for an NFL player to do so, and as an NFL, you have to oblige by that, you might have some of your star players say, "Hey, I want to participate." And all it takes is one injury to change all of that. Because to your point, Robert Evers, they used to have that 707 flag in the beach every year in and year out until that devastating injury happen, and then they change the guard of that. So that's what it would have to take, because I agree with you. Whoever I'm rooting for, I don't want none of my best players participating in something that is a big deal, but it's not the biggest deal because they don't cut the biggest check for you.
Right. It is kind of funny this year. Remember, we have, of course, everyone knows the Dream Team. Then we had this 3-on-3 stuff. Did you see the guys we had representing the USA in the 3-on-3?
Yeah.
Canyon Berry, Kareem Jimmer Fredette. It's almost like they didn't know what to do with it. You know, I mean, it would be interesting to see, are you going to have college players doing it if we actually do have flag football in the Olympics? That's a great question. I'm sorry I mocked you at first. It's our man Brian McFadden here, guys, before we cut you loose. All right, man, we think we're going to be better on defense. We think we believe in Michael Penix Jr., but Vegas still got us at 7.5. I mean, we're not going to make you go win-loss, but you think we win more than 8 games this year, bro?
I think so. I think it's doable. I can tell you this much, though, guys. By October, you're going to know everything you need to know about Atlanta. And the reason why I'm saying that is because if you look at the 4 games, home Tampa, on the road Minnesota, on the road Carolina, home Washington. By those 4 games, and then you get the bye, you're going to know everything you need to know. So if you're Atlanta, if you can get out of that 4-game stretch 3-1, 2 victories coming against divisional foes, you're pretty much in a good position. Because after the bye, you get Buffalo at home, which is a plus. So that 4-game stretch could either be the telling sign of something potentially great happening for Atlanta, or the telling sign that we're not quite there yet, in my opinion.
Great stuff, B-Mac, as always, man. Appreciate it. Don't forget, guys, his conversation with Michael Penix Jr. It's up there on YouTube. I know we've retweeted it. It's out there. It's a great conversation. Thanks again.
Yes, sir.
That's our man, B-Mac. Hey, man, he's one of our favorite guests. It is Puffy K, the kids call him. Steve Coonan, everybody's favorite CEO. The playoff ratings are up. I can't imagine what Knicks versus the Hicks, if we can get that going, will be like. Last year, Boston swept the Pacers. I know tonight's going to be appointment TV. First thing, Steve, how you doing, brother? Haven't talked in a while. How are you?
I'm doing great. Did you make up Knicks versus Hicks, or did you steal that?
No, that was out there. That goes all the way back to 94. Yeah, that goes all the way back to Reggie and Spike Lee and all that stuff. I think that was the New York Post.
Damn, I was thinking T-shirt business. I love that.
If only. No, my claim to fame at Florida State was I had the T-shirt that says you can't spell scum without U-M. But again, I digress.
Nice.
It is our Steve Coonan with us, guys. Steve, I don't know how much you can talk about, or maybe you could throw cold water on it. There was a report out there yesterday that said the organization was talking to the team president of the Raptors.
There's been reports that we basically have talked to everybody but the man on the moon.
Okay.
And his interview, I think, is tomorrow at 3.
I can't believe he got a call before I did, Mike.
Well, you came right below man on the moon and guy working at gas station.
So that would be Steve Coonan denying that Masai Ujiri did speak with the Hawks? Okay. But
No, that would be Mike twisting words like a pretzel.
Do you have, as best you can share, because again, we know we explained to the audience, your role in the organization is to make the game day experience awesome, which you do. But you have any vibe?
A little bit more than that.
Well, I don't want to give you too much heat, because then you got to explain everything when I start arguing with you about stuff.
Well, I appreciate that, but usually I win, though, so I'm fine with it.
All right, well, then here's the deal. If perchance, Tony Ressler's interviewing the candidate, and this candidate says, you know what? You've had your years with Trey. I think we need to blow it up. Does that mean he's immediately disqualified for the job?
Well, I think everybody's entitled to an opinion. Remember, these are a job interview. They're an audition. They're a conversation. They're not a deposition. So I think we can talk about anything. I've been in every single interview, and I think they've been great conversations. And there's been a lot of them.
What I want to talk about here, Steve, is the opportunity that lays in front of the Hawks here, because I'm not sold on Cleveland, the one seed. I'm not sold on Indiana. Boston, obviously, over the course of next season, is going to have a setback without Jason Tatum. I'm not sold on Orlando or Detroit. I just don't think there's that much separating the Hawks, if they can stay healthy, from those teams. And I look at this and say the East is gettable, and I'm hoping to see a significant charge from the Hawks this offseason to set up a charge in the standings in season.
So, Abe, what I'd say to that is this is why you deserve a huge salary in your own show.
I agree.
Let's see what we can do about that.
Right.
I mean, look, you look at what you just said. Philadelphia getting a top draft pick. Mm. Wow. You know, that's a wow. And it should obviously help them. But I do think, and I think Detroit is certainly, we saw this year, a team on the rise. Is
right.
it, you know, is it an aberration or is it real? Looked pretty real. I mean, if they could have closed a couple of games, they would have been there instead of New York right now.
Right.
So I do think the East is extremely competitive, but I also think we're going to be a very competitive team. That is what we're working so hard to endeavor to do.
I mean, the thing is, with Trey, and I guess as Steve Kuhnen joins us, guys, the Hawks CEO, I mean, you've got to get him, you know, his Pippen, or, you know, the Jordan Pippen analogy, the Batman and Robin. Jalen Johnson, I know, is that guy if he can stay healthy. But it just feels like when you look back at Trey's career, he's just never had that all-star. Again, Jalen hopefully will be that guy. But do you feel, and should Hawks fans, I guess is the question, expect that maybe this year wrestler does get into one of those aprons? Because you've got to do something bold to get out of the this rut of the play-in.
Well, I partially agree with you. We certainly don't feel great about being in the play-in for multiple years. You can't just go jettison yourself to an apron. There's a lot of rules, and I know you don't like rules and
right.
regulations and statistics and stuff.
Nope.
But I know, and it's much better sports talk radio than this. But, you know, at the end of the day, money is not an obstacle. I don't care what anybody says. It is. But you have to spend smartly. As you've a student of the game, Phoenix is in purgatory. Hockey is in purgatory, okay? I would much rather be in the position we are than both of them. So it's not going in the tax makes you good, or we'd be seeing Phoenix didn't even make the playoffs.
Right.
And they don't have a draft pick to 31. So it's just not as simple as we say. It's great and it's good sports talk radio fodder, but it's just not real. And so we're going to do everything in our power. We've got a lot of aggressive offseason plans, and judge us on our plans when they're executed.
And I'm kind of wondering, a couple of those plans, obviously, people see the salary cap and maybe getting off of some of the money previously that you didn't have, but it may not all be able to be spent outside of the organization. The way I look at it, Dyson Daniels could be approaching an extension. How much consideration has been given to that, knowing that he's got a club option for this coming year, and then he'd be restricted free agent after that?
Yeah, which makes him a club option under all circumstances for the next 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Look, Dyson had a great year. We think the world of him. We think there's areas of his game that he wants to and can and will improve. And Dyson's going to be very well compensated. There are other moves that we need to make. I don't think it's any secret that we need more height. We need more size as a team. And I think those things will be addressed. And like I said, judge us on our executed actions and how we do. You know, obviously, I'm not able to talk about players. I'm not able to talk about free agents.
Right.
But I will tell you, in the last 8 years, there have only been 14 premier free agent signings. It's not like it used to be.
Right.
You know, so much of the modern NBA, which is in place today with all the new rules, is about how you develop your players. And so what you saw last year with Dyson Daniels, what you've seen with Jalen, who was a 19th draft pick, what you've seen with Zachary Risacher from the beginning of the season to the end of the season, what you saw with Mo Gay, what you saw with Vic Krejci, those are development, and that's the only thing you can do every single day to get better. Because free agency, is few and far between. If there's opportunity, we will play. We do have money.
Right.
If there's opportunity.
As we said, there's one guy who's got, again, we can't talk about specific players. One guy who's still playing right now who can opt to stay where he's at. Another guy who's I'm talking about guys that would help in the front court. Can't name names with Steve on the show. Steve Kuhn is with us, guys, the Hawks CEO. Right now, guys, for those who are not familiar, Ante Salah is the GM. They're looking to have a guy basically run the day-to-day. I mean, is that basically what we're looking for, is a guy to come in and run what to be the guy making these decisions you and I are talking about? Because whoever comes in, two ways of looking at it, Steve. Trey can opt out after next year. And we know that Trey's on record saying he wants to stay in Atlanta. But at some point, maybe he throws up his hands and says, get me out of here. So that's why it's almost like there's a sense of urgency. You've got to really improve the team this year.
Okay, well, thank you.
You won't take the bait. All right, we're working on it. We're working on it. But I mean, but that is a consideration. I mean, the big picture strategically is Trey can opt out, or there's going to be a big commitment from Ressler for Trey to stay here, and it's big, big money.
Okay. Again, good baiting. In fact, some might even call you a master of it.
There he is, ladies and gentlemen. Steve Kuhnen. Abe, your shot.
Yeah, we're going to do some math here. Obviously, things work out for the organization in regards to the NBA lottery. For us, you know, 96%, 93%, whatever, with the 13th pick there. But just some wonkiness at the top of the NBA draft lottery. Obviously, the Spurs are right in line. You already mentioned the 76ers. And, you know, some conspiracies about the Dallas Mavericks, but separate of those specifics, I guess I just the more general question, the NBA draft lottery system, do you think it is working as intended because of the percentages?
Yeah, I mean, you watch the Kentucky Derby two Saturdays ago and a long shot won. We were 3% last year, and does anybody think there was a conspiracy for the Atlanta Hawks to win the draft lottery last year? We won it with 3% chance.
Right.
So this year there's a conspiracy. It's 1.2 percentage points more. But this year there's a conspiracy. But last year everything was on the up.
Yeah, but last year, last year you didn't trade to the Lakers.
There you go. I'll put it to you this way. I'm really good friends with the guy who runs the Mavericks, their new CEO, Rick Welts, who came from Golden State. And I'm happy for him because if somebody needed that pick, that was them. But you look at the fans in Charlotte. You look at the fans in Utah. You look at the fans in Washington who, you know, the whole idea of changing the odds in the lottery is to avoid tanking. And they finished, I think, fourth, fifth, and sixth, respectively. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think it could not be working better. I think it absolutely couldn't be working better.
I mean, it did get people talking. Certainly no such thing as bad publicity. Take it from me. But certainly it was kind of funny how, you know, I mean, but you get it. I mean, going all the way back to the days of, you know, of David Stern.
Frozen envelope.
Pulling that frozen envelope, which one Stan Kasten maintained. I had to pull a Stan Kasten quote out for social media. Stan was there at the drawing, hearing from another NBA executive who Stan would not give the name of, saying, oh, the fix is in. It's going to be the Knicks.
You know, I don't know about then, but have you noticed that it's gone from picking envelopes out of a ball to four different combinations of numbers done by a lottery machine, you know, with...
Right.
Sometimes we say the NBA stands for nothing but attorneys, okay?
Well, I mean, but do you think it is time to
How many attorneys do you think would say, yeah, let's go fix this thing and put everything at risk? Well, this $300 billion enterprise, let's go fix it because the GM in Dallas made a boo-boo.
And that to Steve's point, that is the argument against the conspiracy because nobody can keep their mouth shut in 2025. Too many moving parts to have something like that stay quiet as they didn't when they did fix it back in 1985. All right, Steve, have a great weekend.
Honor, I thought my first argument was nobody complained when we won number one was the better argument.
No, I mean, it just, and look, I still think, Ian, for people to sit there and go, oh, like, somehow we got the booby prize with Zachary Risache is not fair. I mean, yes, obviously.
Let's see in 5 years.
I mean, exactly. Flag is a stud. We get that. And Wemby is a force of nature. But this is a guy that we believe in. I'm with you, Steve. I like the guy. Have a great weekend.
Back at you, guys. Hey, if you need an agent, let me know, man. Big contract.
Appreciate that.
All right.
Here's our boy, Steve Kuhnen, loving Abe's positivity about the Hawks.
Falcons beat writer for The Athletic. Our guy, Josh Kendall. Josh, what's going on, my friend?
Not a lot. How are you?
Living the dream.
I mean, yeah, just trying to figure out, you know, how the Braves outfield is going to fall in. And then now the Falcons have put us a logjam with their for seemingly depth at edge/linebacker.
It's a new phenomenon. now we got to see how it works out. You know, they've tried
fixes before. Hopefully this is the one that actually fixes the problem.
Yeah, so Josh, let me ask you, how do you envision Jalen Walker's role to be similar and also different from Micah Parsons in Dallas? Do you think he'll be utilized in the same way?
Not right away. And by not right away, maybe not until year two. They are steadfast that they are going to let him master one thing. I think that if there was any concern about Jalen Walker as a prospect, it was that he was very good at a lot of things, but maybe wasn't going to be elite at any one thing. And the Falcons are not believers in that. The Falcons believe he can be an elite off the edge, outside linebacker, pass rusher. And so they're going to give him the chance to learn that position, to play that spot. He was living in the inside linebacker's room at Georgia. That's where the Falcons are going to coach him as an edge. The Falcons are going to say, you're our pass rusher. You're our number one. You're going to be our number one guy, and going to see if he can be elite at that. And if they can, if he can do that, if he gets to that point, that's when they'll start moving him around. Not that he won't move around some, but he's not going to be sort of this jack of all trades as a rookie, I don't believe.
We're visiting with Josh Kendall, beat writer for the Atlanta Falcons for The Athletic. You can find him on Twitter at @JoshTheAthletic. Josh, I want to talk to you in a minute about the Falcons schedule release and everything that kind of goes along with that. But obviously, you know, we're talking about the article. We've been talking about it all day. The article you talk about, can Jalen Walker be that Micah Parsons for the Atlanta Falcons? I theorized earlier, Josh, that if he gets anything north of half of what Micah Parsons' stats were in his rookie year, that it would be a home run. And it was like 13 sacks, 30 quarterback hits, you know, however many tackles for loss. I just think if Jalen Walker in his rookie campaign can just get to 7 sacks, I think that we'll be celebrating him as a home run pick.
I agree. And that's what I wanted to walk that line in the article, and I'm walking it here already.
And you did
today.
A nice job, my friend. You did a nice job.
That I'm not trying to say, I don't want anybody to say, hey, this guy's the next Micah Parsons. That is unfair to anybody. Micah Parsons, you know, has been a double digit, sort of a 12 to 15 sack guy every year of his career. He is, you know, an extreme outlier. That's not normal at all. I think that if you're comparing Jalen Walker to Micah Parsons, that's the long-term play. But I agree with you. If he gets 7 sacks and plays quality snaps and can hold up against the run at his weight, that's a little bit of a concern for me. I think that that's absolutely, you've checked that box. You've made a good pick.
No, it's an expectation that when it's put out there, it kind of hangs over him, but from the fan base. But I think you're spot on with your analysis of that. That's what he could be used at. That's what I thought coming out of college. The guy that I want to ask about real quick and what kind of the expectations for him is James Pierce Jr. Because, you know, I did my top five list, Josh, because we do top five on Tuesdays, and I was like pass rush duos in honor of the fact that you drafted two guys you hope is the next great pass rush duo, and not only the first one really in Atlanta, but in the league. And I mean, what is the expectation of not only how they'll use him, but just what he will be this season in James Pierce Jr.?
My expectation for him this season is a designated pass rusher. I don't expect him to be a starter. Not that I don't think he'll be impactful, or should certainly be impactful, but I don't think he's a first down guy right now. I think that, you know, Leonard Floyd is a veteran. I think Leonard Floyd is a starter. I think Jalen Walker, if I'm guessing, those are your two day one starters at outside linebacker. Arnold Ebiketie, who closed strong last year, will spend the offseason sort of stewing in his own mind about them drafting people to replace him. And maybe he has a good offseason, and maybe he starts the season as a starter there, but I think that probably eventually changes. So I don't envision James Pierce Jr. as a first down guy, maybe even a second down guy as a rookie. I envision him as third down, fresh legs, very simple job, son. Go get that guy. And I think that's what his body was built for. I mean, he is, Jeff Ulbrich said, and, you know, it's not crazy. that he might have been the best pure pass rusher in the draft, and he was including Abdul Carter in that conversation.
Hey, Josh, what are your thoughts on the schedule? I mean, Falcons got a bye week pretty early, week 5, not after Berlin. Do you think they got a fair shake this year?
I think so. I think the schedule has become very difficult to put together, especially as many alternate time slot games as they have. You've got all the international games this year. You've got all these prime time slots now. It is grueling. There is no question it is grueling. But I think they got as fair a shake as anything. An early bye week is not great. You don't love that. But I'm not sure, you know, I don't know, the late bye week, I'm not sure helped Atlanta last year. I felt like, you know, they started to run out of steam. A lot of that was quarterback related in injury or whatever the shoulder situation was with Kurt. But, you know, there's no week 8 or 9 is the perfect bye week. Other than that, you're going to kind of complain about, you know, what you got. I think 5 is fine. I do think that early season stretch, if you dropped another game in there, could be pretty daunting. So I think it's fine.
Hanging out with Josh Kindle, beat writer for the Falcons from The Athletic. Josh, and let's talk about that schedule a little bit. We already knew the home and away opponents. Obviously, going back to the end of the football season, now you see how they line up. You see where they are. You see the primetime games. Were you shocked by the 5 primetime games? You know, obviously, the NFL expecting to be the Falcons. You know, the Falcons will be another focal point this year.
I was. I absolutely was. This is a team that's, you know, had 7 consecutive losing seasons. And we all, I think, believe that Michael Penix is going to be a good quarterback. The Falcon folks inside the building believe he's going to be a great quarterback. But I'm a little surprised that the league seems to be signing off on that. So, yeah, we really like this guy. You know, part of it also could be, you know, we think the Falcons are going to score a lot of points, and we think the Falcons are probably going to give up a lot of points, and that's great TV. Let's do that.
Hey, Josh, Xavier Watts is a guy I'm really excited about. Is he and DeMarco Helms going to fight for that other safety spot? How is that going to shape up with him and the battle for that other spot?
That's a position where I think Jordan Fuller starts the season. They're right next to Jesse Bates, and their goal is to replace him as the season goes on. I'm a DeMarco Helms guy. And not that I'm not an Xavier Watts guy, but I would, if I'm putting the pecking order right now, I'm going Jordan Fuller because he's an experienced guy. He can sort of jump in. You don't have to teach him a whole lot of stuff. You've just got to refine him with your system. And then DeMarco Helms and then Xavier Watts. He is a 3rd-round rookie. I know the Falcons think of him as a 2nd-round rookie because they would have strongly considered drafting him at 46. But I'm going to temper my expectations for him. I'm a DeMarco Helms believer. I have concerns about this defense against the run. They are very athletic. They have gotten a lot more athletic, but they're going to have to stop the run if they're going to, you know, earn the right to rush the passer. And I think DeMarco Helms brings an edge, a physical edge to that defense that, you know, I just wonder how many other players, as I'm going through the, you know, this rotation, how many other guys have.
I'm glad you brought that up, Josh, because that was going to be my next line of questioning. Finishing up here with Josh Kindle, beat writer for the Falcons for The Athletic. That's the thing that I've been kind of stuck on, is I do feel good about the athleticism. And really, when you go down the schedule and look at the quarterbacks you're going to face, Kyler Murray, Josh Allen, you can go down the list. Like, you're going to see a number of athletic quarterbacks. So you're excited about the athleticism. The problem is we haven't really done anything in the interior of the defense line to address the problems in the run game, which are obviously overshadowed by the pass rush. But your run defense wasn't great last year either. And I'm curious to get your take on this, because I think one of the biggest misses you have this offseason is Eddie Goldman leaving. A lot of people don't talk about Eddie Goldman. Right. He played a huge role in this defense last year, and he's not there. How do the people inside the building kind of envision, you know, taking over for Eddie Goldman in the middle when you really need that big run stop?
They are obsessed, like the rest of us, with pass rush. Their defensive, Nate Oley is a penetration defensive line guy. You know, defensive line coaches kind of live in one of two buckets. You know, our job is to not give an inch. We're going to build a wall right there and not give you a single inch to run between us. Or we're just going to get upfield and wreak havoc. Nate Oley is a, we're going to get upfield and wreak havoc. That's not Eddie Goldman. That had become, less and less at this age, Grady Jarrett. These were big double team eaters. Grady was a good balance of both styles, probably. But Eddie Goldman was to sit there and eat up a double team and not move an inch.
He was a tree
star. These guys want to And those guys are invaluable, in my opinion. Not necessarily in the Falcons' opinion, though. They want guys who are athletic and get up the field. They feel like they can create enough havoc to make up for just the sheer bulk that they've lost. So we'll see. I mean, we'll see if they're right. But I share the run-stopping concerns that you do. And I think a guy that we – for me, a guy that – this is a real deep cut. But I wonder what happens with Braylon Trice. This is a guy they drafted in the third round, had high hopes for last year. But he's basically a 270-pound outside linebacker. That's totally different from, 245-ish pound James Pierce and Jaylen Walker and Leonard Floyd. You know, these are totally different body types. So what are they going to do with Braylon Trice? What do they envision him being? He's a guy, could he be their James Smith Williams, sort of a first down outside linebacker? I'll be interested to see how that shakes out.
Yeah, well, I'm all for the penetration for this team in the backfield. Hey, what's the deal with Ryan Neusel? Like, we all know he's going to be here. That's the way it's going to shape out. But why is it this deal gotten done and he's in camp? I'm just kind of confused on why this is dragging out.
I'm a little confused too. I thought when they released Junior Aho that forgive me if I'm mispronouncing his name, that opened up a roster spot. I thought, well, then tomorrow, Ryan Neusel will be signed, but that's passed a couple of days. Once they're on the field for veteran, certainly for mini camp, I would expect Ryan Neusel to be in the building. Does he just want a couple of weeks off? Maybe. But the Falcons have the right of first refusal on his contract. I don't think he's going anywhere. Dwayne Ledford referred to him as a starting center in the NFL last week. The NFL teams spend a lot of energy playing these weird roster games with like the 55th man, 53rd through 55 on their roster that, sometimes I think they're outsmarting themselves, but I don't think there's any drama there.
That's Josh Kendall, beat writer for the Falcons from The Athletic. Josh, man, we always appreciate the insight.
Thanks for having me.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.